Hello.
Hey, are you ready?
Oh, this is the worst.
It is 5 a.m. and I'm glad to hear that you are up.
I'm up.
Okay, let's get to it.
Welcome to the Slob Sisters podcast, the show that explores the realistic art of modern homemaking, all of its challenges and all of the rewards. I'm Steph, a YouTuber and stay-at-home mom and former slob, and with me is my co-host and my sister, Jill.
Hello, everyone. I'm Jill. I'm a part-time working mom of two and new podcaster.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us today. I'm looking forward to today's discussion, but before we dive into it, let's first begin with our weekly progress report.
Yeah, in case you're new to our podcast, we are starting every episode with a small victory that we have accomplished this week. All right, Jill, let's hear it. What progress did you make this week?
So for this week, I did something that, you know, I really leave a long time, and I cleaned some windows.
Ooh.
And I genuinely think there's more light entering my home. It's so bright and nice. And the reason I was motivated to do my windows is, you know me, Steph, I love gadgets and little funny things. I love trade shows. Me and my girlfriends go all the time.
Oh, no.
And I bought this like ridiculously expensive squeegee. So I was all over my windows with my squeegee this week, and yeah, they look awesome. So no regrets there.
That's awesome. Well, and when I was there last week visiting you, you were complaining about your windows being dirty. So I'm so glad you did that. And you used that. What's the window squeegee? It's that one that Go Clean Co. recommends, right?
Yeah, it's called the Aquablade. And you know what?
That's so intense.
It is intense. But, you know, it got me cleaning my windows. And I love those little gadgety things. It's, yeah, so it was fun. It's good.
So it worked well?
Yeah, it worked pretty good. Well, ooh, I did it and I didn't before. So, I mean, it got me going.
Nice. Like, I've had lots of questions about whether the Aquablade works, and it's always sold out. So that was interesting. Maybe this year it's finally kind of died down a bit after the pandemic rush on cleaning supplies.
Yeah, the squeegee demand is finally settling down, surprisingly. So what did you get done, Steph?
Okay, so I was like racking my brain for what I've been doing, and then I realized this is so silly. I feel like I've been doing nothing because all I've been doing is planning and prepping. So one thing that we're trying to get ready is our huge house reno, because we moved into this house. It was built quite a long time ago and it needs some love and a little bit of a facelift. And so I finalized a bunch of reno stuff. We got our windows ordered and finalized. I've got my kitchen finalized and all the quotes for that. So I'm feeling really good about that, making progress in the right direction. So when the builders come in, everything should be good to go.
That's awesome. And that's a lot of work. So I'm glad you're kind of getting ahead of it there. That's great.
Yeah, we definitely learned some lessons on the last build. And this one's, again, with all the different shipping delays all around the world, there's definitely some challenges already. All right, so let's jump into our main topic. Jill challenged me this week to wake up at 5 a.m. every single day. And like, I don't even know if I asked you why you came up with this challenge. I was just like, yeah, sounds good. I'm on board. Where did the inspiration come for this?
Well, as you know, our mom always has a nice stack of books at, you know, on one of her side tables in her house. And one of the ones she had recently was The 5 a.m. Club. Have you heard of that?
Yes, I have. Robin Sharma. I've seen it. Actually, I think I've read parts of it. I decided it wasn't for me.
I mean, you can basically get the gist of the book in like 15 minutes of scanning it, I think. Basically, it's waking up at 5 a.m. to do, you know, more productive things, things for yourself, to set the tone for your day. So I grazed through that and I thought, you know, I should try this because we always complain about not having me time and not having that time to kind of sit down and focus on getting something done for ourselves. So I thought, let's give this a shot and maybe other people, our listeners, would be interested in hearing how it went.
Yeah, and getting that extra hour that we talk about, like, what would you do with an extra hour? Well, getting up at 5 a.m. is an extra hour. I mean, it's an extra 2 hours for me.
Yeah, it's more than an hour for me as well. I usually get up on work days at about 6:30, so it's an hour and a half for me. And I do want to mention that we didn't do the 5 a.m. club system, where they have certain specific things that you have to do in that time. It's like exercise and journal and read a book and stuff like that. We just kind of got up early and did what we wanted to do, basically.
I mean, we love a good challenge. We love trying new things, tweaking our daily routines, figuring out what works best in our lives. So pretty much anytime someone suggests a new idea like this, I'm going to try it. Even if I'm so sure it's not something I'm interested in.
Yeah, absolutely. You never know when you're going to find something that clicks, but we do love new challenges like this. We already did the cell phone challenge in episode 2, and I failed miserably. So some of them might stick, some of them won't, but it's definitely something I think that we should keep coming back to on this podcast.
Yeah. Steph and Jill, try something new.
Absolutely.
That could be a whole segment, right?
Totally. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. So one thing that I looked into as soon as you mentioned it, I was like, okay, yeah, maybe. And so I quickly Googled, like, why would I wake up at 5 a.m.? And a couple things came up right away. One was getting up earlier, or at least 60 to 90 minutes before you need to be your best self, productivity-wise, is kind of the best optimal thing. And so that makes sense for me because my kids get up around 6:30, 7 o'clock. So if I want to be, like, my best self, mommy-wise, maybe I do need to get up at 6 or 5:30 at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of moms firmly attest to waking up before the rest of the family for that me time or to get a jump start on the day so you're not being jolted awake by the chaos of the morning rush, which I understand so well.
Yeah, I mean, I have a ton of friends who say, like, I have to get up half an hour before to get my coffee going, just sit there, have a couple deep breaths. I mean, if you have little kids or if you have just kids at all in the house, you know it's just 0 to 100 when they get up in the morning.
Absolutely.
And another thing I read was that a big thing about getting up at 5 in the morning, because I thought, well, how am I going to get enough sleep? So the important thing is to adjust your sleep cycle so you're sleeping an hour earlier in the night, which was hard for me because I already feel like I go to bed quite early. I usually go to bed around 9:30, so that was adjusting it back to like 8:30. But I know, I was like, I have no life. I'm up by myself in the morning. I'm going to bed with my children. Anyways, 1 week. But one thing I read was it's really important to have that regular sleep cycle. It helps set up your circadian rhythm so that you sleep deeper, so that if you are getting up at 5 in the morning, you're still getting a good sleep.
Yeah.
So I felt like 1 week probably isn't enough time to adjust to this. Like, technically, you could get into a groove if you push through and really force this 5 a.m. routine on yourself.
Yeah, and if we're going to be honest here, Steph, I did say that I thought we should do this for 2 weeks, but somebody wanted to cut it short.
I don't remember you saying 2 weeks.
I said 2 weeks.
I just remember hearing 1 week, and now we're 5 days in, and I said, let's record the podcast, I'm done.
Yeah, all I remember hearing was a lot of complaining, so.
Yeah. Well, spoiler alert, I didn't love it.
Okay, so let's just see. Overall, how did your week go? Did you rise to the challenge, and did you get up at 5 a.m. every day?
Okay, so I actually kept notes because I was, like, in such a fog. I got up at 5 a.m. 3 of the 5 days, every other day. I think it's because the days I got up at 5 a.m., I was so tired at the end of the day. I needed to sleep in. Like, my alarm went off for 5, and I was just like, it's not happening. I am not getting up. And then I slept into my usual 7 a.m. wake-up time, and then those days overall were better. So, yeah, I got up at 5. Every day I did a little bit of work on my computer. Well, not a little bit. Actually, I got a lot done. But I didn't exercise. I didn't even make a coffee. I just kind of, like, pounded out a bunch of work that I've been procrastinating on. So that was really nice to get that done.
Yeah, that is really nice.
How about you? You did better than me, I know.
Yeah, I did. And I think the only reason I did better is because I set up some accountability partners. So I was lucky enough to have some neighbors join me for a 5 a.m. morning walk every day.
Yeah. And one of them has a baby. I was like, girl, what are you doing?
I know. We also were doing a bit of a steps challenge this week, so they were happy to get out and get some walking done in the morning. And it was really nice. It was kind of like, you know, we usually are walking with our kids, which is like barely a walk. And yeah. It was nice. There was 3 of us, and it was like our 5 a.m. walking club, and we did like 5K in the morning. It was great.
Oh, that's nice. See, I think, yeah, definitely an accountability partner would have worked better. Like, I knew you were going to text me, so there was that motivation to get up because you're like, are you awake? But the motivation to go outside would have been better, especially because living up north, we actually have the sunrise happening around 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. So that would have been really nice to do.
Yeah, no, it was pitch dark for us, but it definitely got me out of bed quickly because I don't want to leave my friends waiting in the street for me when it's my thing that I've made them do. So
yeah, no, accountability partners are huge for getting especially difficult challenges done.
Absolutely. But I will say that I didn't work yesterday and it was so much harder to get out of bed on that day because I knew that I could sleep till, you know, whenever my kids got up versus on the days that I worked Monday through Wednesday, I felt like, okay, well, I have to get up anyways for work in an hour and a half. So it's just, you know, getting me started a bit earlier. So I can see how it would be harder for you because, yeah, that day yesterday was just like, oh, come on. Like,
yeah, well, and my husband takes care of our kids in the morning. He gets them up and gets them going with breakfast because he likes to get up early and he has a 3-minute miracle workout that he does, patent pending, says he. And he makes this huge breakfast. Like, you would think you're at a diner. It's beautiful. And then he gets our kids breakfast. And so I sleep till 7. And then usually he comes and wakes me up and says, I've got to go to work now. Time to get up. And I'm like, okay.
It's
very, very luxurious. And I totally get that not everybody has that in their lives. But for me, it does help me get that sleep. And as I've mentioned before, and as he is very much aware, Stephanie with a lot of sleep is a good Stephanie that we all want.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So what were the major pros and cons you saw through the challenge?
Okay. So pros were getting a ton of work done, like a ton. Uninterrupted work. Pros, I guess, yeah, just that uninterrupted block of time where I could do whatever I wanted. That was a huge pro. If you feel like you have something you just cannot get done, this is maybe the thing to look into because it was awesome. Like, I wasn't tired by the end of the day. Like, I could have done this at night after my kids go to bed, but I'm not feeling it. So this was like early. I was motivated. Yeah, tons of stuff. Cons, I was so exhausted by like the afternoon. I could barely drag myself through the end of the day. So cons were I just didn't feel like I got enough sleep. And as we mentioned, that could come with time and with establishing a really good schedule. But this week for me was difficult, to say the least. How about you? Major pros and cons.
Yeah, similar to you. I mean, the major pro for me was just not feeling rushed in the morning. You know, going to work, getting my kids ready. My husband's up at work, you know, about 12 hours away. So I'm on my own. Is such a chaotic time of my day. You know, if I'm ever going to feel frustrated with my kids and get impatient, it's definitely in the morning. So having that time to get myself ready before they wake up was huge. And I'm not going to lie, I've had more comments on my appearance this week than I have ever had. All of my coworkers, all my friends were just like, wow, you look amazing. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's amazing when I don't just roll out of bed and like put 8 pounds of dry shampoo into my hair. What can happen? So actually taking some time on myself in the morning because I had, you know, a lot of time to kind of get myself ready. It was really nice. And I felt good for that reason. In terms of cons, I agree with you. I felt this crazy crash in the afternoon that I don't normally feel. I just, you know, I'd feel great until about 2. And then I was like going around my work looking for any kind of candy or caffeinated item to get me going through the day. And then, yeah, by the evening, I was just done. So I was going to sleep with my kids and you know, there goes the rest of the evening, which in the winter wouldn't be so bad. But in the summer, I love that evening time outside and I can stay up a little bit later. So that was definitely the con for me. I was tired.
Yeah. And so like how much sleep did you get?
Less than normal. Yeah. I was going to bed anywhere between, I went to bed at 7:45 one day when I was just exhausted. And I think the latest I went to bed was 9:30. So it's not like I pushed it, but I was definitely getting less sleep than normal. I was getting anywhere from 6 to 7 hours when I'm normally about 7 to 8 hours.
Yeah, I was the same. I was at least an hour less every single day. I mean, I already go to bed at 9:30, so I shifted it to like 8:30, 9, and that's really early, right? Like, we don't get any alone time, my husband and I, if I do that. I was getting about 6.5 hours sleep. Normally I get about 7.5, 8 hours sleep, and I was tired. I would have to really shift my early day schedule back. But I read that getting up earlier does make you happier. So it's interesting you say that, like, everyone said you looked better and you were more refreshed. Apparently that only works if you'd shift the schedule and add the hour to the beginning of the night, as opposed to just going up late and waking up early and losing sleep and then, yeah, not feeling good at all.
The whole week I was thinking to myself, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy and wise. I was like, you know, it felt great in the morning, but at 2 p.m. I'm like, I'm not feeling wise. I'm not feeling wise at all.
Yeah, there's definitely, I think, an adjustment that needs to be made or a push. And I think you're at work, you can't have a nap. I have a very difficult time having naps because my two girls do not nap. And I mean, I could lay down and rest my eyes, but it's just that is always the time that they choose to have messy art time or run out into the field and I don't know where they are time. So I don't like to nap when my kids are awake and I can't supervise them properly.
Yeah, that's fair enough. So did you feel like you got more accomplished waking up earlier this week than normal?
Yes. Okay. So this, again, this was the huge pro. I have, I guess you could call it a business. Well, it's a business. I have my YouTube channel and I have a blog and I run all my social media stuff. And then we have this podcast. So there's work that goes into that every single week. And I got so much of it done. I responded and caught up on all my emails. I could work and I did not have anybody interrupting me. That's what I did. I got my work done and it felt so good. And you did exercise, I guess. I wanted to work out. I even put my workout clothes and shoes at the space where I work out, but literally could not face working out. I was like, I can face this computer and emails, but I'm not going downstairs to work out.
Horse blinders on, not going down there.
No, and I was like, it's good. I'm getting stuff done. I'm not working out. I know it probably would have made me feel better, and I might have had a better day if I had done exercise in the morning, but I couldn't face it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. You know, baby steps, right?
Yeah. So you did your walk, which took how long?
Yeah, so we did an hour long walk in the mornings. And then when I got home, I still had more time than normal. So I would just get myself ready and I would sit down and have a coffee. A couple mornings, my daughter did get up and we were able to sit down and kind of have some time together, which was really nice. And then I got to work on time, which is novel in itself. And
yeah, right.
My coworkers were all like, it's like they seen a ghost. They're like, what are you doing here? I'm like, just ready for work, you know. So I did that as well. And I even got gas on my way to work. So that was pretty exciting for me because I don't think I've ever had time to stop and get gas on my way to work.
You had
so
extra time.
I did. Yeah, I did. So that's kind of what I did. I just took my time getting ready, having a nice shower and, you know, getting myself ready for the day.
Nice. And so that's one thing that we talk about a lot, the podcast is new, but we talk about it a lot and we're going to talk about it a lot on this podcast, is finding me time when you're a homemaker or stay-at-home mom or a mom that's working or, you know, just anybody in this busy, busy world. So did it feel like me time, getting up early and having that time to yourself? Did it feel like me time or did you feel like you were kind of still scheduled out?
Yeah, I don't know if it felt like me time because the options were a little bit limited at 5 a.m. because, you know, my house is designed, it's a bungalow, so I can't really be noisy. I can't, you know, get my kitchen clean or do some cooking or, you know, go outside and do some things. Whereas in the evening, I feel like I've got a little bit more freedom to do that. I don't know why. So it did feel nice to get out with my girlfriends in the morning and do that and stuff like that. But I don't know. It was a different kind of me time, I guess.
Yeah. It's funny that you say that because like getting ready for work and stuff doesn't feel like me time for you. Whereas like my YouTube channel and the work that I do is my me time. It's my time to connect with the adult world. And so, yeah, it felt like majorly productive, uninterrupted me time, right? I got everything done that normally I'd be trying to squeeze in throughout the day with my kids running around. And it's always awful because I'm trying to like write an email and they're like, Mom, read me a book. I'm like, just one second. I have to finish this email. So I had that all done. And then I was able to be a better mom. I mean, now that I'm talking through it, I can really see the perks. But like my husband said, maybe getting up at 6 a.m. that still gives me an hour versus getting up at 5 a.m. where I was like dead tired.
I know. That's kind of what I have kind of come to the conclusion of is I definitely think I want to move towards waking up a bit earlier just to not feel so rushed and give myself that time to get ready myself before my kids get up. But 5 a.m. was a little bit excessive, I think. I was finding myself kind of like pacing around in the morning. So, you know, and once you've got a routine going, I'm sure that would be better. But I agree. You know, I normally get up at about 6:30. I feel like a 6 a.m. kind of thing would be good for me.
Yeah, I think the routine with the 6 a.m., because I have in the past gotten up at 6 a.m. and done a workout for about a half an hour. And then usually my kids are starting to get up. If they know I'm up, then I'm fully in it. Whereas even when I was like locked in my little office doing my work, they didn't even know I was awake yet. So I could kind of get that extra time. And I used that full 2 hours. So I had an extra 2 hours to get stuff done. I did feel like the last day I was all caught up in my emails, so I couldn't have filled 2 hours. I was definitely behind and now I'm caught up. So I think I probably should be doing a bit of a workout or something if I'm going to continue this routine.
Yeah.
So fun, not very fun challenge. Jill, thank you for the suggestion. I mean, it was really interesting. And now I know, like, if I'm ever in a crunch with work stuff, I would definitely bring this into play. Just hit the hay an hour earlier, get up an hour or two earlier, and just be able to get through so much rather than having to, yeah, get my kids to like watch TV so I can get stuff done. And I just love the idea of these mini challenges and trying new things, because you never know what might work. And I definitely did learn something. So listeners out there and subscribers of our podcast, please send us your suggestions of mini challenges, things that you've always wondered if this actually works or helps.
Yeah, we love hearing what you think and seeing the comments. So please be sure to leave one for us. Perhaps we'll be doing more podcasts at 5 a.m. because we always are looking for time, you know, uninterrupted time to record these when our kids aren't screaming in the background. So this worked out really well for us. So who knows
if we may be recording more of these. Let's clarify that it's 5 a.m. for you. I got up at 4:30 because we're on a time difference.
This is true. It is now 6 a.m. for me and just 5 a.m. for you.
Let's do it again. I'm like, never, never again. I mean, we could definitely record in the morning. This is great. But the 4:30 wake up was even worse. So I would like to get an extra gold star for getting up at 4:30 this morning.
That's definitely bordering the line of middle of the night and not quite morning. So
yeah, it felt like middle of the night. Okay, great topic, Jill. You know what time it is. Funny story time.
Absolutely. So this is one of our favorite parts of the podcast. Every week, we each take turns sharing a funny story. Steph doesn't know what I'm going to say and vice versa. So it is my turn this week. So for this funny story, it's funny, embarrassing, and all around just not something I'm proud of, but
I can't wait.
Definitely entertaining for others. My sister sometimes, you know, feels like I'm borderline saying inappropriate things on here, which this one might be, but
well, we're still gauging the audience because I feel like there's certain things I would say and wouldn't say on YouTube, but podcasts, there's definitely a little bit more of a relaxed vibe, and we're finding our way in this world. So, but we're always going to keep it clean so you can listen with your kids.
But was that a hint for me?
Well, was it? Are we keeping it clean? Do we need to give a warning?
No, it's good. It's good.
Okay.
So this funny, embarrassing, shameful story was on April 28th, 2015.
Oh,
The reason I can be so specific is because I can still easily find the related news article on Google. So some friends and I were at a sports bar in the far north suburbs of Calgary watching the Flames in the playoffs. They'd had a huge win. And so after the game, we saw on the news that downtown Calgary was just crazy and alive with fans, and the streets were full of people everywhere. So I wanted to get down there so badly. It's not very often that the Flames do so well. So it was something I wanted to experience.
Oh my gosh, I think I know what story this is. Okay.
So
carry on.
We couldn't get a cab. Calgary's usually bad for cabs, but especially during, you know, playoff times, things like that. So we couldn't get a cab.
And there was no Ubers then.
At this point, there was no Ubers. You couldn't book a cab on your phone. You had to actually phone like an operator.
Oh, we've come so far.
We have, yes. So we leave the sports bar and we're standing outside thinking like, what are we going to do? How do we get downtown? And there was a huge party bus of girls leaving. So I grabbed my friend and I said, let's go over there, see if they're going downtown. Like, that's where everyone's going. So I will say, in the driver's credit, he did say, do not get on this bus. But what? I assumed he was just not happy with us getting a free ride. So we got on, and those girls were more than happy to have us and said they were
do
going
not
downtown.
Get on this bus. I know the story, so I feel like the warning was like, do not get on this bus.
I know, but I took it more of like a do not get on this bus. And I was like, yeah, we're getting on this bus. Anyways, they said they were going downtown. Quick stop on the way. I would definitely say, and I don't know if you agree with me, I'm on the more trusting side of people generally.
Yeah.
I'll trust you until you prove me wrong. Anyways, it was like 16 girls and one guy, so I felt okay about it. So we get on the bus and we get to the one quick stop at this random house. I have no idea where we are. And I don't even think I had a smartphone this time, so I couldn't even GPS like exactly where I was. So everyone gets out of the bus and we just kind of sit there and wait. But it'd been a long time, so we decide we should check out what's going on because no one's been coming back and I don't know where we are. Yeah. So we go inside and just as a little side note, the friend that I dragged along with me is definitely like more on the innocent and conservative side of things.
Okay. So as opposed to you.
I mean, no, but she's...
You've seen some things. She maybe has not.
So we go inside and it's just a scene. And without getting too graphic, let's just say there was a lot of not okay things going on. And if you want more details, you can Google the story after. It's very much available and very graphic. So we run out of the house, get back on the bus, and beg the driver to take us anywhere. But he says he can't. He's tried to call his boss because he's not comfortable there either. But he says to us, he goes, you know, I told you not to get on this bus. And then the moment it was like a punch to my stomach, he says, why would you get on the bus with a bunch of prostitutes?
Oh, I don't remember that part.
Yes, we were on the prostitute delivery bus.
Oh, so- my God. So I didn't realize that. I thought it was just random people.
No, no. This one guy and 16 girls was like the delivery to the party.
No.
Yeah, and us.
And you would look at these girls and be like, look at these nice girls. And I'm sure they are nice girls. And I mean, whatever. But.
Yeah. So needless to say, I was like super overwhelmed trying to stay calm for my friend who was not
even
from.
What did you do? Did you phone our mom?
No, I didn't.
I would have phoned mom.
You know, I was still like in my 20s. So I was still like, you know, figuring things out myself. And we just sat on the bus with this driver, and then a stabbing occurred in the front yard of this house. And
oh.
The driver just says, you know what? I don't care if I lose my job. We're out of here. So he takes off and drops us off at this neighborhood bar. And then we like figure out our way to like one of my friend's house who lives near there. And we end up sleeping the night there. Anyways, we never make it downtown. But the next day.
And you were barely in the house. Like, you walked in the house, took a look around, we're like, we're out of here. And well, then just spent the whole night on the bus or what?
No, because after we got back on the bus, it was like, you know, 15, 20 minutes later, the stabbing occurs and he just dropped us off somewhere else because he was like, yeah. I'm out of here. Like, so, yeah, we cruised around the house a little bit. I'm not going to say we like partied in there or anything, but we were in there and like trying to act cool for a moment until I was like, this is not okay. So the next day, all over the news in Calgary, and I think, you know, more than Calgary, was the headline, drug-infested orgy at suburban Airbnb. And I didn't even have to open it, and I knew I had been attendance at this party. And not only that, but it stated that 18 prostitutes were seen getting out of a party bus going into the party.
18? That counted you?
Yes, I know. In fact, we were counted as two of those prostitutes.
Oh, no.
And so this party apparently was paid for and stolen in fake credit card. The damages were the worst in Airbnb's history. I think
they've changed
their insurance policy since this event. And so through the week, everyone's talking about it, and all my coworkers were talking about it all week. And I just sat there in silence thinking like, yep, I was there. That was me. That and there was only
terrible.
16 prostitutes, I'll have you know. But it was an honest mistake, and I kind of learned a lesson to just, you know, be a little bit smarter. We were from a small town, so I think a little bit of that is ingrained in me, but, you know, there
yeah,
was just
definitely.
Some hilarious headlines when I was looking it up yesterday. Like, one of them was, police found a trail of destruction, liquor, and mayonnaise at a Calgary home. And I'm just like, oh, geez. And yeah, so that was my night of joining in a prostitute party and attending a headline making party. We never made it downtown, but it's a funny story. And I just, sometimes people still bring it up and I just think, and you know, now I kind of say like, yep, yeah, I was there. And they were like, what?
Yeah, yeah. That's amazing. You know, I remember that happening, and I think you've told me it a couple times, but I didn't remember all the details. That's amazing. You are way too trusting. We are from a small town where getting in a random car with strangers, and if they said they were going somewhere, seems like a perfectly fine idea. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and I feel like,
lesson you know, learned.
I wouldn't get on a party bus with 16 men. I was like, oh, well, it's a bunch of girls. And really, like, you know, they were fine, but yeah, you know, retrospect, wouldn't do it over again, but hey, we're okay. And that's what matters. I saw some things that will never leave my mind, but.
Oh, that's a great one. I feel awake now.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you for that, Jill. Thank you everyone for listening in to the Slob Sisters podcast. Make sure to subscribe and leave a comment with any suggestions or just some helpful feedback that you have for us. We are loving doing this podcast. It's been so much fun and we've just really gotten some good feedback. So help us keep it going with your comments and your likes and subscribes.
Absolutely. It's been great. And I'm assuming you're going back to bed now, Steph.
Yeah, it's 5:30 now. So I'm going to go back to bed. Well, I don't know. That laughing really woke me up. So maybe I'm awake now. We'll see. I'll let you know later today.
Sounds good. All right, everyone. Thanks a lot for joining us.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.